This is Wade's World, where we talk to the most interesting people in the world on KABF 88.3, the voice of the people.
You want to see how the other half lives? You want to see how we get around? Why don't you come visit me on the east side of town?
This is Wade Rathke, and you're listening to Wade's World. It's Friday morning, 9 to 9:30 Central Standard Time in the U.S., and your time for the voice of the people. Welcome to the east side of town so that we can talk about how the other half lives and what life is like here living in Wade's World, whether that's the east side of Little Rock, where KABF 88.3 is located, or the east side of New Orleans, where WAMF 90.3 is housed, or Greenville, Nairobi, Bengaluru, Bristol, or Bombay. Points east and west, where we are either rebroadcast or live streamed at www.kabf.org. A podcast will be available to the show on Monday at that website. You know the story on Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world, and today we're talking to Elizabeth Branch, who's on the planning committee, a member of the planning committee of the Arkansas Poor People's Campaign. Welcome to Wade's World, Elizabeth.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
So this is starting to be something that a lot of us are looking into and thinking about, but 50 years after the first Poor People's Campaign led by Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., there's a plan and a program for a new Poor People's Campaign, and that's what you're involved in, is it not, Elizabeth?
You are right. That campaign 50 years ago was interrupted, unfortunately, by Dr. King's assassination, and we are trying to pick up the campaign, move with it, and make it relevant to the 21st century.
So I read a lot about, or I've heard a lot about, this one being a national call for moral revival. What does that mean?
We're putting it in the context of morality because the prevailing climate of the United States is to focus on morality and on issues that are important spiritually. And our point in discussing poverty as immoral is that we need to focus on the morality of supporting all humanity and not just the morality of single issues that may not be as important as supporting people who cannot help themselves.
And is that controversial, do you think, Elizabeth, or is that something...
Well, I think it goes against the prevailing mode of in the country. We tend to focus on those single issues, and instead, I think we're losing sight of the broader issue that all people have a right to health care, to food, to shelter, to the things that make for survival, and for quality of life as well. And so I think morality is indeed the right way to couch the Poor People's Campaign.
Now, is this effort largely being spearheaded by religious groups?
It has started in North Carolina through the efforts of Dr. William J. Barber II, who is a United Church of Christ minister. And he has not relegated it to the religious community, though. In North Carolina, when he wanted to build a coalition, he solicited 146 different organizations, which covered the political and the faith spectrum, many with no faith at all. And so it has not stayed just solely a faith campaign. It's a humanitarian campaign.
Now, obviously, Reverend Barber was famous for his moral,
Moral Mondays.
Moral Mondays.
Yes.
I kept saying moral majority Mondays, and I knew that wasn't right, Elizabeth, but
yes.
Moral Mondays, when he was, at that time, leading the NAACP in North Carolina, and I think they went down to the state capitol in Raleigh, and every Monday they had people out on their Moral Mondays trying to get the legislators at that time to do the right thing. Am I remembering that correctly?
You do remember that correctly. That's exactly what the Moral Monday effort was about. The people used their constitutional right to instruct legislators in how to vote and how to frame laws that supported the humanitarian efforts in North Carolina, and they had some pretty good successes. And so he is building on that fusion coalition strategy to bring this campaign to 32 states. It's not just North Carolina. It's not just the South, even though all the southern states are included, but 32 states out of our union, and also the District of Columbia.
I know the Moral Monday sort of caught on for a while in Georgia and some other places, and certainly given the things we've seen out of the North Carolina legislature, they were needed almost every day there. Is the notion of the new Poor People's Campaign that this is going to be an ongoing thing? I mean, I've read various things about the timeline. I guess a better question, Elizabeth, would be what is the program at this point? I've heard there's going to be several things over a period of weeks culminating in a rally or something in Washington. I don't know if that's correct or not, but why don't you give us some insight?
Here's what I know at this point, and I don't have the serious details that will come out later, but we are focused in Arkansas on preparing for 40 days of resistance, starting with Mother's Day, which this year will be May 13, a Sunday, and going until the summer solstice, which is June 21, the Day of Light. And that will be our days of action this year. But we do not see that as the end of the campaign. It will be continuing, a multi-year at least campaign. It's just that these 40 days are the focus right now that we're working toward. And those days will include some activism, lots of events to call attention to the campaign, and as I say, I don't know the details of how that will roll out, but I know that it will be significant here in Arkansas and in those other 30-some states.
Well, I know from what I've heard that there's talk that each of those weeks of those 40 days will have a theme, maybe. This may be something that, as you say, is all sort of in the planning and discussion, but housing might be a theme for one week, or food security might be another, or health care. I mean, is that also likely to be sort of the format?
I have understood that to be correct as well. So
you and I are both guessing at this program, aren't we, Elizabeth? We're doing a good job. At least we're guessing the same thing. So,
yes, I think we're on the same page, yes.
Exactly, you and I. So now we'll get the whole campaign. Okay, so in looking at the website earlier, and this was a couple of weeks ago, I think when they were first sort of making the call, it was interesting to me that they were asking people to sign up, which obviously everybody does on a website these days, but they were also asking people to check the box if they were prepared for civil disobedience.
Correct.
That sounds interesting. Why don't you give people a sense of what the thinking is there?
Well, the thinking is that just talking, just sending out press releases, just doing op-eds, and just doing letters to the editor tend not to, that helps educate the public, but it doesn't tend to change the status quo. And through nonviolent civil disobedience, we have certainly Dr. King's example and all the people who worked with him. We have their example of how nonviolent civil disobedience put the issues before the public and before legislators in such a powerful way that those people in in power and a decision-making place had to make a decision. And so we are not holding off on promoting active civil disobedience. So that's the thinking that goes behind this, that we need to take a stand verbally and through our actions as well.
We're talking to Elizabeth Branch, who's on the Planning Committee for the Arkansas Poor People's Campaign, which is reinvigorating the 50-year anniversary of the original Poor People's Campaign, organized or led by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and SCLC and other groups at that time. We're talking about civil disobedience, but the Moral Mondays in North Carolina include civil disobedience. I know I read a lot and heard a lot from friends and organizations that participated, and I just can't remember if that was part of the program, was it?
It was to a point. They did experience, many people did experience being put in jail, being arrested, and so there was some of that, and I have, my understanding is that resulted because they were in a public place that was okay to be in, but they were asked to leave and they didn't. And so it's that kind of disobedience, as I understand it.
Well, that's what civil disobedience is, and some of us know, some of us have had that experience. Now, in Arkansas, let's talk a little bit about the program here in Arkansas. So y'all are getting involved. I think you had an event just recently, the last couple of days. Am I wrong?
No, you're correct. Had a press conference in the Capitol Rotunda this past Monday, the 5th of February, at which time we had speeches by some of our organizers and by people impacted by some of the policies that are making life difficult for folks like DACA individuals and people who have lost health care and people who have been in the military and not gotten sufficient health care after their experience. That the speeches were powerful, and then following the press conference, we delivered a letter to our legislators and to the governor, just outlining what the campaign is about, and bottom line, that we intend for you to listen to us, and that we also intend to stand with the poor and to do everything in our power, including nonviolent civil disobedience. Do everything in our power to get your attention and to see that some of the oppressive and unsupportive laws are changed.
And have you gotten a fair amount of organizational buy-in at this point in Arkansas? Can you give us a sense of that?
We are still at the developmental stage on that. It's kind of interesting that you said that question, because today I'm going to a meeting of our church judicatory, and we're asking the members of that body to approve a resolution in support of the Arkansas Poor People's Campaign. Our denomination has already spoken out in support, and so we want to speak out here in Arkansas as well. As far as official support, we're not seeing that just yet, but that is part of our goal, is to add on other denominations and groups who will speak out in support of the campaign.
Well, obviously, you're in an organizing mode, so we're spreading the word. I know I can speak for you. All are welcome. And what denomination is that has already endorsed it on a national level?
That's the Presbyterian Church USA.
Okay. Because I know I've read that they are supportive, and I think maybe it's some of the Methodist denomination, some others have signed on fairly early on a national level as supportive. So it does take the spade work locally to get everybody involved, I'm sure.
Yeah, but
other organizations come on yet?
At the press conference the other day, a couple of the clergy, we had several clergy who were speaking. One is a an ordained Baptist minister, another is a Church of Christ minister, and the third is a rabbi. So we have those groups represented so far.
And I know, how about any of the local community organizations or labor unions? Anybody, are they getting involved in this one?
We are actively seeking them out. We haven't struck palms yet on an agreement, but we are certainly inviting and wanting to include them, that they are an important part of this effort.
I love the expression "struck palms." I'm going to say that in the future, just so it embeds on my tongue. Struck palms is such an accurate way to look at it. That's the difference between flapping tongues, as we find out from the West Wing these days. They need more palm striking.
Mm.
Well, that's outstanding, and I know discussions have certainly been happening among in the building you're in with Arkansas community organizations and Local 100, the United Labor Unions. All have been involved in these conversations about because it's the original Poor People's Campaign was also a difficult experience for many. Not only, as you cite, because it sort of abruptly ended, but I can remember I was. Not long after that, an organizer for the National Welfare Rights Organization. So it was common to hear about stories of from Dr. George Wiley and some of the recipient leadership about their efforts to sort of push the campaign to take a more affirmative position on welfare recipient rights and adequate income, and how to sort of involve poor people in a poor people's campaign. And that's always, that's never easy, is it, Elizabeth?
No, it is not. It is difficult to connect, first of all, with people who may be afraid to come out and identify themselves. I think particularly of immigrants and DACA folks. But people who have a history of not being heard takes strong encouragement and solidarity with them to enable them to have a voice and to be confident in speaking out. And so it's just a process. And so we're trying to do this in a gradual but a hurry-up way, and it's hard to do gradual and hurry-up at the same time, but that's really what we're engaged in here in this campaign.
Well, it sure is, and as you said, Mother's Day, I mean, that's only about 3 months away.
Yes, sir.
We're knocking on the door. I mean, here it may be cold outside, but spring will be coming, and I'm sure there's a lot of people, you and your fellow members of the planning committee are trying to talk to in this period. I mean, obviously, the radio station here called itself a voice of the people, was organized to give a voice to the voiceless. So certainly this will be a megaphone for these kinds of efforts as you get going. But is Arkansas seen as a particularly important place for this campaign to take root? As you mentioned, 32 states and a lot of the states in the South. How are we doing in the spectrum of getting organized? Are we ahead, behind, running as fast as we can? What's the story there?
Good question. I have no way to compare our efforts with other people's efforts. I think we started a little behind. Some states, such as Mississippi, had kept a strong NAACP and other organizations going since the Martin Luther King days. And in Arkansas, I am not aware that we had that strong a network going into this campaign, but we are making great progress and are trying to broaden our efforts. The initial planning committee turned out was mostly from the Northwest Arkansas and Central Arkansas area, and so with some folks from Russellville as well. And so we're trying hard to get people from Northeast and Southeast and Southwest Arkansas to be involved as well. And so, as I say, we're going fast, but trying to build those relationships so that we have a real statewide network of people supporting the campaign.
Excellent. And we're talking to Elizabeth Branch, who's on the Planning Committee of the Arkansas Poor People's Campaign, 50 years after the initial Poor People's Campaign, developed and led for a long time by Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. And so in Arkansas, is it thought that the events will be mainly in Little Rock at the Capitol, or as you say, you're getting everybody, trying to get everybody involved, will there be events in local counties and cities to try to move the campaign forward? Or
that is our goal and our hope, that we can spread it out so it's not just at the Capitol and not just in Fayetteville or Bentonville. Because the more people that own the campaign, the more likely we are to be able to make an impression on legislators and those who are making decisions for us all. But certainly, Arkansas is a state that needs this kind of change. We are near the bottom in so many different categories of poverty, education, health care, income, inequality, and we just need to make some changes that work for the benefit of all our citizens.
Elizabeth, I have to ask, how did you get involved in this? Has this been something you've been waiting for, or you got roped in, or how did you find yourself on this planning committee and doing all this hustle bustling around?
Thank you for asking that. Both things are true. It is, in a way, something I've been waiting for. When I retired from higher education some years ago and moved to Little Rock, part of my intention was to be active in supporting the needs of poor and disadvantaged. But I didn't really have the connections to do it. And so when this invitation came from Steve Copley at Interfaith Arkansas to go to Birmingham for training by Dr. Barber and his team, I jumped on it. It did seem like something I had been waiting for, and I was thrilled to be asked to be part of it. And out of that training session came the opportunity to serve on the planning committee. It's been a rich experience, and part of what has made it rich is the involvement of people from these different areas of the state and the different age groups. Our tri-chairs of the planning committee are much, much younger than I am, and I am just thrilled that they are putting their energy and great intelligence into working on behalf of all citizens of Arkansas.
Well, excellent. And certainly when you mention Steve Copley, he's been a frequent guest on various KABF shows, so he's somebody we know well, and I'm not surprised to hear he might have been somebody with a lasso around your ankle pulling you and others in. There are many of us who've met in the basement of his church over the years. So one of the things that was interesting to me, and this may be something that's just shows my age as well, is the Poor People's Campaign this time is looking at sort of cultural things a lot more seriously, you know, poetry and music, mm-hmm. art and film, than certainly would have been the case 50 years ago. How does that work, or how are you experiencing that? That's sort of an interesting twist to it.
I am looking forward to experiencing it. We have identified some people who can do videography and music and provide this cultural background underpinning, however you want to phrase it. And we all probably remember how important music was in Dr. King's campaigns and marches and efforts. And so we're expanding it to include video and other types of cultural expertise.
So I bet it wouldn't be something that you'd oppose if we sort of put a call out for anybody who wants to figure out a way to reflect on or promote the notion of more justice for the whole society. This is a human dignity campaign, as Elizabeth has referred to it, a moral campaign for low and moderate income families. But anything they might contribute, a song, obviously we're on the radio, music is common, a video, a poem,
right.
Almost anything, you'd love to have it, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir, we definitely would. And people can volunteer through the national campaign at repairersofthebreach.org. That's repairersofthebreach.org, Repairers of the Breach, which is what we vision ourselves to be, is people standing in the gap for those who have not traditionally had a voice or had much say-so in how their lives are run.
And that's www. Repairers of the Breach. And breach, you're spelling B-R-E-A-C-H. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Not B-R-E-E-C-H.
Correct.
So be careful. Yeah, be careful now, sports fans, friends, and neighbors. You know, we want you to get to the right website. So Repairers of the Breach. And if people, I told you, you know, a couple minutes before we finished, we're still ahead of that timeline, but since we're talking about websites, how do people get in touch with, is there a way to get in touch with the local campaign if people are listening and want to jump in?
At this moment, we are not quite ready for a big outreach, but I would be glad to give the email address for the campaign. And if you'll just give me a minute to turn to the right page here, it is
Arkansas, right?
Yes.
Arkansas Poor People's Campaign.
.org.
.org.
Yes. So that's.
Go ahead. You give it. I was trying to help you remember.
You are right. I found the right place. Arkansas.
I sent you so many emails this week, it's almost embedded. So why don't you spell that out for people, too?
Okay. Arkansas, ARKANSAS, at poorpeoplescampaign.org. And I'll spell that also. PoorPeoplesCampaign.org. And one of us will be glad to take your questions, your offers, your volunteering money as well. But let's go through the national organization on the money side of it. But
yeah, that's always best, probably. Now, one of the things that I know people have said is that, is this contributed to or distracting from so many other efforts about the midterm elections? How do we answer that, Elizabeth?
I think it informs our thoughts about the midterm elections. It gives us a way of approaching candidates to ask them how they react to issues relating to the war economy, to racism, to poverty, and ecological degradation. Those are questions that we need to be asking our legislators. Where do they stand on issues that affect the poor and the disadvantaged and all of us as far as the economy and the ecology are concerned?
So your argument would be that efforts like this could even help focus energy towards the midterm elections as well, eh?
I agree. And certainly voter registration and changes in voter laws that support widespread participation, those things would help inform us and motivate us to get out and vote ourselves and to help our community to vote.
And I'd be shocked if one of the weeks doesn't focus on voter issues and voter registration.
I would too.
Yes. You know, we're trying to get our arms around this. Elizabeth Branch, thank you for being on Wage World today. And that's the Arkansas Poor People's Campaign. Elizabeth has said, get a hold of them now at Arkansas at poorpeoplescampaign.org. This has been Wade's World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard, and as Lucinda Williams sang, things you've never seen and will never forget. As the song goes, we say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week, and we'll have another guest, this is Wade Rathke from Wade's World. Thank you.
This program is produced by the Arkansas Broadcasting Foundation, KABF-FM in Little Rock, Arkansas, and is distributed through Affiliated Media Foundation Movement, AMFM, serving the needs and interests of low and moderate income Americans.